Hello, I'm BB Lynch and you're listening to BB Lynch's Whips on BBC Sussex and BBC Surrey. Whips is my new show, and on the show I interview six brilliant women who are not 12 years old, talking to them about their lives, about being older but still hugely relevant, about being whips, women who are hot, intelligent and in their prime. On today's show I'm talking to journalist, author, TV presenter and host of Loose Women, Andrea McLean. Before you hear the chat, I've chosen this song to represent Andrea. I wonder if you can guess why. The song is Sweet Inspirations and Sweet Inspiration.
I need your sweet inspiration. I need you here on my mind every hour of the day. Without your sweet
So when I met you just now at your doorstep, I went straight in for the hug. I apologise.
Oh, no, not at all. Okay? No, you see, I am normally a hugger, but I don't... Sometimes I presumed wrongly, and then... So I thought, OK, I'll go for the handshake. But no, I was really happy you went in for a hug. I love a hug.
I had a meeting once, and it was someone I wanted, a book agent, and I was like really psyched about this meeting. And when we met each other, we both went in for the kiss at the cheek and went to the wrong place, and I kissed her on the nose. And neither of us mentioned it the entire meeting. And she didn't represent me.
Oh, that's hilarious.
I know.
That's actually really funny.
Noser. So, when we got in touch with your people and
said... Oh, how lovely. That makes me
people.
Sound like a lot better than I really am.
We
my
said,
people.
We said, we really want to interview Andrea, and we'd love to interview her in a place that has some significance to her. And instantly, they went, porch. We're on your porch now.
Yeah.
It's incredibly beautiful, really calming, and it's... You tell me why it's special to you.
Gosh, well, I moved to this house about 7 years ago. I was in the middle of getting divorced, which is never nice. And when I first moved in, it was a new build, so it was very practical. I bought the house because it was practical. You know, I'm a single mom of then a five-year-old and a 10-year-old, and I didn't want to have to do anything. I just wanted to move in and for it all to be sorted. But the back garden was very plain, like all new builds are. It was literally a patch of grass and a fence. And I was overlooked by roughly 18 houses. And that's not even exaggerating. There's about 18 houses. And I just didn't feel very cocooned. I like to feel very cocooned. So at the time, I had decided, right, this is a new change in life and all this sort of thing. Find something that you enjoy doing that will get you out of the house. So I went I actually went back to college, and I went back to college in Guildford. I went to agricultural college and did a garden design course. Which sounds
so
a bit random.
So you are TV's Andrew McLean?
Yeah. In the canteen with
your new pencil
with all
case.
Students. Yeah, I did. There were a few double takes, and I was like, yeah, it's me. So I went and I did this course. In the end, I didn't get my qualification. I didn't finish it because work got really busy, and in the end, I didn't actually finish. But I learned enough that I learned how to design a garden. So I designed, where we're sitting now, I designed it. Clearly, I got a team of experts in to build it because I would not know where to start. But I knew exactly what I wanted. Yeah. And what I wanted was somewhere that felt like a place of calm. My life is very busy. It's very vibrant, very noisy. You know, I work in TV. I work in a very buzzy, noisy show. But I wanted to be able to come home and have a sort of really calm place to just chill out. Now, I grew up in the Caribbean, which not a lot of people sort of realize. And for me, being outside is something that's really important to me. So I wanted somewhere where I could sit outside, but because we've got British weather, clearly just getting a patio set of chairs.
There had to be a roof.
Yeah, there has to be a roof.
And there's like a swing chair. Is it called a swing chair?
It is a swing chair. And I'll be really honest, my husband bought that, and I was not consulted. And when he came home with it, I must admit my first thought was, well, there were two thoughts. The first can't be repeated, and the second was, it doesn't match. How could you buy something without asking me that doesn't match? But I've got used to it now, because actually I have got those chairs over there.
I've got the darker grey chairs.
And now I love it. It's actually a really nice, relaxing place to sit.
I would come here, probably uninvited, but that doesn't matter. We've had a hug, so in a way we're related
now. It's good. It's all good. And you can have a key.
You're my longest relationship.
I've married people on this.
I know. I'd come here, I'd have Sunday lunch, but it'd be a 6-hour lunch. Yeah. I love a lunch that goes into dinner, and I would sleep on here.
Oh, you'd be so welcome.
Oh, thank you so much.
And you'd fit in really well, because that's what the kitchen's just behind us through there. I really apologise for the noise. We're also fairly near the M25, and the wind has clearly changed direction, so...
We'll see.
We'll have our porch moment.
Yeah. We'll have our porch moment. Yeah.
But yeah, through there is the kitchen, and my parents live literally an 8-minute walk away. And my favourite thing to do on a Sunday is Mum and Dad come round. When my sister lived fairly locally, she used to come round as well.
Nice.
And that's my favourite thing: get everyone round about 2, and then people wobble off home.
Yeah.
About 9 o'clock at
do
night.
Do you do the cooking?
No.
But there you go. That story even got even better.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
No, I'm really good at setting the table and encouraging. Nick cooks.
Yeah, well done, Nick. You made up for the chair with the cook.
Yeah.
The chair's broke. Great. So you were born in Scotland, but why were you in Trinidad and Tobago? How did that happen?
My dad left school at 15 with no qualifications in the late 50s, early 60s. And... he ended up becoming an apprentice, because obviously you were offered apprenticeships back then. And he became an apprentice engineer in a place that made machinery for sugar factories.
Okay.
I mean, literally, in the middle of Glasgow, this young boy sort of learning to make machinery. And then when he was 21, he was given the chance to go out to Trinidad and help install some of this machinery that he happened to be working on. Him and Mum had just got married. Mum didn't want to go. You know, they were 20 and 21. They bought a flat round the corner. My parents come from the East End of Glasgow. It's very similar to our East End of London, just to give it some sort of context. My mum trained as a hairdresser. Her parents worked in the shipyards. You know, my granny was a chef, and my granddad was a carpenter.
So that would be a hell of a move.
They'd never been abroad before. But they got offered this job. My mum went and cried solidly. And they ended up staying for 18 years. Now, not solidly. We moved around quite a bit within those 18 years. But we ended up going back there. So they came home to Glasgow to have me. They really wanted me to be born in Scotland. So they came home literally for a month, and I was born. And then they went back again. But my sister was born out in Trinidad. And then I lived there until I was 8. Then we moved away for 2 years, went back when I was 10, and then moved back again here when I was 15.
Have you been back as an adult?
No, isn't that weird?
Yeah.
I have lots of friends that I'm still in contact with. Facebook is brilliant. I have friends that I still see sometimes when they come over here to the UK. But I've been to the Caribbean many times, but I've never actually been back. And it sounds strange, but I almost don't want to spoil the memories that I've got.
You're protecting the memory. I totally get that.
Yeah, because it's, I know how different it is. I've seen lots of pictures. And I know that where I grew up, because the factory my dad, like I say, he went in to put this machinery in. And then he ended up working there. And then he became factory manager. And this is over the course of like a 30-year, 40-year career. So I grew up on a sugar estate. So it was, how do I describe it? It's a bit like being in the army, because everyone works for the same company and you all get a little school bus to take you to the school. It sounds a lot more flash than it is. It's not. It's just, I suppose it's like growing up on a weird big farm, because we were just surrounded by fields and fields and fields of sugarcane that all went to this big factory that made loads of noise and crunched it all up and became sugar. It's not this kind of people floating around in white summery dresses all the time. It's just an agricultural estate, really, and that's what I grew
still
up on.
Still a great experience that's been part of your upbringing. So thank you for taking part in this series. So this series is I wrote a piece for Stella magazine about a year ago now, called Whips.
Yeah.
And Whips are women who are hot, intelligent in their primes.
Oh, wow.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Well done. You are very welcome.
I'm sitting here blowing my nose and not feeling like that at all. So thank you so much.
And before I talk about like whips in TV and you as a whip, I mean, I wonder if you'll know, because you were young when you left, but in Trinidad and Tobago, do you think older women are respected more there than they are?
100%. Do you know, and it's not just in the Caribbean. I think that in so many different cultures, women are respected when they get older. It is only in our weird, twisted Western culture, in that I sort of mean Europe and America, I suppose, that we have this bizarre attitude that there's this worship of youth, which is wonderful, and I'm absolutely all for encouraging youth and supporting people as they're sort of transitioning from childhood into young adulthood and beyond. But actually, you're a grown up way longer than you're a child.
Yes.
And it does seem very odd that once you get to the point where you're a grown up, you're not relevant anymore. And this really resonates with me right now, because I'm 50 in a matter of weeks. So I'm kind of hitting this point where, I mean, your body starts to change, which is, it is frankly disappointing that you get to a point where you're starting to feel like, yeah, I know what I want and who I am and where I'm going. And then, for the love of God, the body starts caving in. It's one of life's cruel juxtapositions. But for example, my parents went on to live in Africa for a long time after living in the Caribbean.
Yeah.
And my dad by this point was in his 50s and 60s, so he had grey hair. And he was known as a muse. And it took him a long time to sort of pluck up the courage to ask, what is a muse? He didn't know if it was an insult or what it is. And the people he was working with laughed, and they said, no, you are muse. You have white hair. It means you are wise. And he realised that actually he was being treated with respect, and people appreciated whenever he opened his mouth in a meeting, they would stop and listen, because they thought, you've reached an age where you've gained wisdom, so you're wise. And I think that translates for men.
Was there a female equivalent of that?
There wasn't a female equivalent. There obviously that's just within his sort of, you know, his place of work, so that there may have been elsewhere. Interestingly, the head of the Maasai while he was there was a woman that he
really?
That he was dealing with, yeah. And that, you know, that had a great relationship with. But over here, I do think there is this strange fixation on you're only respected if you somehow manage to stay slim and relevant. And weirdly, slim comes first. I don't understand this.
Yeah, relevance way behind the
kid. Yeah, yeah. Oh, she's great. She's put on a few pounds. Oh, she's really let herself go.
Yeah.
Oh, it doesn't make any sense to me. We're all a bit back to front. So hats off to you for doing this. I think it's fantastic.
Thank you very much. Do you think that TV is getting more accepting of older women?
100%. And yeah. I have been so, touch wood, lucky that I started working in TV in 1997. I was quite old, I suppose, when I started. I was 26, 27. And because I kind of fell into telly, it wasn't something that I'd meant to do, which meant I think I had a really good attitude to it. I thought, I'll do it for a little while till it doesn't, they don't want me anymore, and then I'll go back to being a journalist again, and I'm still here. But I was quite lucky in that I was sort of young and excited about the whole thing before the days of social media or anything like that. So I was just kind of cracking on and doing my job and having a, you know, a nice time without the outside pressures of having to look a certain way or be a certain way. And then as I've matured, I think attitudes have also matured. So I've been on, obviously, Loose Women for 12 years now. And during that time, obviously, I've grown older with the programme. And it's made me appreciate even more that it's the only programme on TV where, as a woman, the older you get, the more you are more respected. Because it's not about what you look like. Mm. It is genuinely about your life experiences, good and bad. Mm. You know, in especially in TV, you're expected to just show up looking shiny, yeah, and, you know, do your professional best and always, you know, project the kind of eyes, teeth and big hair, and then, you know, go home and quietly deal with whatever you're dealing with. On Loose Women, you are absolutely encouraged to talk about anything you might be going through, good or bad, share it, talk about it, discuss it in the way that women would, I don't know, sit around a campfire in other, in other cultures. Mm. With an audience who also get to join in. So I think Loose Women has led the way in terms of TV. On other programmes, definitely. I mean, look at Strictly Come Dancing. The fact that, obviously, you know, Tess Daly was paired with a much older man, yeah, which was wonderful, and, you know, Bruce was a legend. But the fact that when he no longer did the show, another woman in her 40s was able to come and co-host a prime time juggernaut of a BBC show, I think it's fantastic.
Do you think, have you felt it, the social media thing is interesting, isn't it? Because that must have changed. I had a little look at Loose Women's hashtag yesterday.
Yeah,
people go for it, they support it and they go for it.
Yeah, it's very polarizing.
Yeah, very polarizing.
But I think that's a good thing, because if you were doing something that everybody blandly agreed with, it means that you're not actually trying to talk about things that are maybe a little bit gritty, and raise opinions and you know, give different perspectives that people will disagree with. You know, one of the things I love most about the show is that in the morning meeting, obviously as the anchor, I have a slightly different take on it, in that I sit very quietly and listen to people giving their opinions. And sometimes I catch the editor's eye and we'll both nod. And what it will be is someone will go, well, I'm sorry, but I think that's rubbish. And we both go, good, okay, now we've got something.
Yeah.
And for me, where its strength lies is the fact that you can have a really impassioned debate about something and very, very much disagree. And then we'll literally go to the ad break and we'll all of us go, oh, that was great. That was really good. I thought you... See, when you took me down over that point, you were amazing. I mean, even yesterday, Janet Street Porter said to me, Andrea, I like you, but I completely disagree and I think you're full of rubbish. And
Did she use the word rubbish?
Well, she had to, because it was daytime TV, but I knew what she meant. But I love that. I love that. And I texted her last night saying, you were awesome. You know, and that's what strong women do. It's not personal. It's just your opinion.
No, I love this. Is it... So you have been in TV for a long time,
yeah,
which is brilliant. Has it been... We've touched on it, and I think I know what you're going to say now. Aging in public, what's that like?
It is weird, but... Gosh, it's better than the alternative, which is dying. And I think that we need to get our heads around this a lot more, which is rather than thinking, oh no, and I'm guilty of this as much as anyone. Oh no, look, you know, the jawline isn't quite what it was, and oh my goodness, what the hell has happened to my bum? Normal things that women, you know, look at the mirror and think, oh, I don't look how I did. But... I had a health issue a few years ago where I ended up, I needed to have a full hysterectomy. And the sort of outcome of that and all my, you know, the test results that sort of followed and everything, and it turns out I'm all fine now. For a good few years, it totally changed my perspective on aging, because I genuinely felt, well, it is, I'm still here.
Yeah.
And what's the point of worrying about, yeah, you know, any of these other things that I've mentioned, because I'm still here. That's kind of worn off now, and I have now gone back to, yeah, but I know I'm still here, and I know it's really great.
And that's lovely, blah, blah, blah.
That's nice, but if I could get a big bulldog clip and just hoik everything up a bit, that would be amazing. So, but in terms of aging in the public eye, it's never really bothered me. I am what I am.
With Whips, and you're obviously this huge TV star, are there any TV Whips that have inspired you? Any women in TV that are older in their prime, you're like, yeah, they've really influenced me. Janet Street Porter, is she one?
Yeah, Janet's a legend.
She changed the face of it.
Yeah, and I think that when Janet first came on board on Loose Women, I was really excited by that because I thought it was such a great addition to an already really strong team of women. More because of what she represented, as obviously before I met her, and then you witness firsthand what she brings to the table. But in terms of what she represents, she's such an icon, and she was a trailblazer before we kind of allowed women to be trailblazer. And I don't even use the term allow lightly. She fought her corner and didn't put up with any nonsense. We spoke about it on the show yesterday, and she said, I came out the womb a fully formed witch. I was like, Janet, do you know what you're saying? And she said, yeah, but I came out not putting up with anything from anybody.
Yeah.
Society didn't make me this way. Yeah. I was just born this way. So we talk about the difference between maybe nature and nurture, and whether you can become stronger or whether you're just born that way. She was born that way. I'm trying to grow into being more that way. Mm. I'm a much softer sort of character. So yeah, I do. I admire people like her. Gloria Hunniford, I watched her career through the sort of 80s and 90s and beyond. And again, I'm now working with her, which is wonderful. And she's an icon. And again, she's a woman. She might be, weeny in stature, but she's like Mighty Mouse. She knows what she wants, and she's a very, very strong woman.
She's pushing for older women on TV.
Yeah, that's why it's so important to have, to have her there. And her and Jen, I mean, I'm not sure exactly how old Gloria is. She won't tell us. But Janet's 72.
She is not.
Yeah, doesn't she look great?
Wow.
And I don't mean that in a kind of, plasticky, sycophantic, everything tugged back kind of way. She looks vibrant and healthy and well and strong.
But it's energy. It's energy it
totally
and attitude, isn't it?
It totally, totally is.
72. And that's what I love about this whole Whips thing, is that it just blows every preconceived notion out of the water if you want it to.
She refuses to age.
Yeah,
We talked about it, and she said, well, I just refuse to let it happen.
Yes.
Wow, that is really is mind over
She's
matter.
Taken on Mother Nature, and she's won.
She's won, yeah, yeah.
That's amazing. Mm. Who else are you going to say when I interrupted?
I think, to be honest, every one of the Loose Women, every one of us.
Mm. You got any musical whips who you admire?
Oh, that's a good question. She's not older, but she's been in the business a really long time. I bloomin' love Miley Cyrus. I put a post out on Instagram a month or so ago, and it was a clip of a little speech she did at Glastonbury. Now, I suppose Miley Cyrus has got a 40-something-year-old head on a very young body, because she's been in the business for such a long time. And she basically was talking about fear of expectation and how she was performing at Glastonbury, and she was really nervous because she'd always wanted to do it. And then she'd watched someone the day before doing a really amazing set, and then it instantly made her feel really scared in case she couldn't do it. But that her dad, obviously Billy Ray Cyrus, had given her this really little nugget of wisdom, which was that, if you get on a bicycle and start at the top of the hill and take your feet off the pedals, you go downhill really quickly. If you want to succeed, you need to pedal, and it will be really, really hard to get up to the top. But once you do, you can appreciate it because of how difficult it is.
Yeah.
And what you're about to do today clearly was really hard because you're getting out in front of this whole different audience and wanting to perform really well. Now, I thought that was something that an older woman would have said. Mm. And I thought she was incredibly wise to have said it, because it resonates with all of us. We're actually all scared.
Yeah.
But you have to kind of keep doing it.
It's just doing it.
Doing it
it's
anyway.
Doing it. It's doing it. What would be a Miley Cyrus song then that you would choose? Because this is where I'm casually throwing in, we're going to play a track. I know.
Oh, my
God. This is a show that keeps on giving. You've got a music choice too.
Well, for me, my musical choice would be Miley Cyrus' The Climb. Now, it may be a cliched, hackneyed song that has been covered by everyone on The X Factor. But it was actually our first dance at our wedding, this song. And the reason for it was because of the words. And it really resonated with us because we were coming together as a blended family with teenage children. And we'd both been through difficult times as adults. And we realized that in this sort of coming together, it doesn't fix everything. And it doesn't mean that everything is now, well, there you go, that's it. You know, the Looney Tunes thing at the end, and that's all, folks, and it's all sort of done. It is just about just keeping going, and it's about the journey, and it's about the climb. So this was our song. And we used to cry in the kitchen dancing to it. The kids would go, "Should we put on the climb?" And Nick and I would just be like sobbing in the kitchen, crying and dancing, and the kids would be laughing at us. So when we played it at the wedding, it was such a wonderful, wonderful moment. So that would be my song.
I can almost see it, that dream I'm dreaming, but there's a voice inside my head saying you'll never reach it. Every step I'm taking, every move I make feels lost with no direction. My faith is shaken, but I gotta keep trying, gotta keep my head held high. There's always gonna be another mountain, I'm always gonna wanna make it move. Always gonna be an uphill battle, sometimes I'm gonna have to lose. It ain't about how fast I get there, ain't about what's waiting on the other side. The struggles I'm facing, the chances I'm taking, sometimes might knock me down, but no, I'm not breaking. I may not know it, but these are the moments that I'm gonna remember most, yeah. Just gotta keep going.
You're listening to BB Lynch's Whips on BBC Sussex and BBC Surrey. And tonight I'm talking to Andrea McLean, Loose Woman TV host and author. And right now we're talking about her book, Confessions of a Menopausal Woman.
So I want to talk to you more about the Miley Cyrus thing is interesting when you're saying about doing something that's scary. Your writing is brave. Writing is really brave. And you wrote a book about Confessions of a Menopausal Woman. And that's something... So you addressed that publicly. Why did you, A, write about it, and why publicly?
I didn't have a choice, is the first bit of this. I didn't want to. I didn't even want to talk about it. I felt that it was nobody else's business. And it was such a personal thing. But I work on a live daily TV show, and I was going to be off work for 6 weeks, and it wasn't until literally the day before my operation, when I was going to be doing the last show, when we're all sitting in the morning meeting, and lovely Linda Robson, who we all call Nana Linda because she kind of mothers us and looks after us. And we'd finish the meeting and we were kind of, you know, heading out. And she said, so what are you going to say to everyone today? I said, well, I'm not going to say anything. And she said, well, you have to, because people are going to think you've been fired if you just disappear for 6 weeks. And it genuinely hadn't crossed my mind, because I'd cleared it with the bosses. I had cleared it with, you know, the people who needed to know that I wasn't going to be at work for 6 weeks. Why did I need to tell the whole world? Can you hear the rain? This is us. This is what I love about sitting on a porch.
So in my head, we're in New Orleans. This is a monsoon. Do they have monsoons in New Orleans? Have I just made
Let's
that
say yes.
Yeah, they
Let's
have lovely
yes.
monsoons in New Orleans.
They have hurricanes.
When it turns to hail,
yeah,
we're not
we'll
in
go
New
inside,
Orleans.
Yeah.
We're not in Kansas anymore.
Oh, but this is what's so great about you coming to talk to me in my happy place.
You're in
this
your happy
porch
place.
Is my happy place, because I can still be outside even when it's pouring with rain. So anyway, I realized I needed to say something on TV about where I was going to be. And Linda Robson basically cajoled me into it, and I was about to let the whole program slide and not mention anything. And with about 20 seconds to go, she literally cut across everyone and went, never mind all that, you've got something to say. And so I had to make this announcement.
Do they all know that you do impressions of them?
Yeah.
Okay, carry
yeah,
on.
Yeah, really poor impressions. Yeah. I will never be hired as an after-dinner impressionist. And what I didn't realise, because obviously I then went in to have the operation, was within 24 hours, 10,000 women got in touch with the show. And when I was told this a few days later, something just clicked in my head, and I thought, how can I, as someone who really prides herself in being a supporter of women, and I work in the public eye, just keep quiet about something that is clearly making such a huge impact on half the entire population of Britain, which is the experience of going through the menopause? So I just started getting back in touch with people via Twitter and Facebook and this sort of thing. And then I thought, I need to put all this together in one single form so that anyone who isn't on Facebook or Twitter or what have you can get these answers. So I went back to my doctor and said, look, would you be the medical expert on this? And she said yes. I learned about her through the NHS, and she happened to be an expert in the menopause. Mm. So between the two of us, I wrote about my personal experience of it, and she gave all the medical side of it. In terms of how open, and it is open, I am extremely honest about every part of it. That, again, was something that I didn't have any problem with, because I thought it would be so disingenuous of me to pretend that all I do is this shiny TV presenter, is eat kale and go running, and my menopause is amazing, and that's literally all you have to do. Because it's not. It's horrifying. In my case, it was, and sometimes still is, but also for lots of other women, this is the case as well. So I just wrote it and put it out there and just hoped, do you know what? I hope this helps.
That's the joy of Loose Women as well. You're normalising these subjects. The shame around menopause is so interesting, isn't it?
Mm.
I mean, what's that about? I mean, is that patriarchy really at full pelt?
Do you know, sadly, it is patriarchy and it's also women.
And women.
As well. Because I've been accused of jumping on the menopause bandwagon. I started this, 3 and a bit years ago, when no one was talking about it. And it was literally in response to thousands and thousands of women getting in touch with me. There are women who, and I fully respect this, don't want to talk about it, don't want to hear about it, and get very, very angry with anyone who does. I think that in itself is quite sad, because while I absolutely respect your experience, which may be completely fine, that's not the experience of many other women. Of course you don't want anybody banging on about anything over and over and over and over again. Mm. And the last thing you want is a conversation about menopause to become so boring and hackneyed that nobody wants to listen anymore. Mm. But I think the fact that so many people are talking about it, that there are programs on it, that, you know, good quality magazines and newspapers are writing articles and interviewing women about it, is a good thing. Because the reason for all this noise is to implement change. And that's the only way that you can implement change. And the kind of change that we need as women is that GPs are fully informed. Mm-hmm. There are many GPs out there who are excellent and are fully across the truth about HRT and its many benefits, but are also across the many other solutions that you can offer to women who are suffering. Once this noise has done its work, which is that it is absolutely normal for a woman to be able to go and ask for help, you won't need it so much.
Yeah.
Any kind of change has to start with some kind of noise.
But when you get 10,000 replies to an announcement that you're not of why you're not going to be at work, then you know something has to be said.
Absolutely.
No, I think it's amazing you're doing.
My daughter's going to be 13 soon. So she's just starting her hormonal journey. And we've already had the conversation about, well, you're just starting it. Mine has not necessarily ended, because nobody's ends. Your hormones are part of every organ in your body, and every part of your body. But it's changed. And what I would dearly like is that for my daughter and that generation to not even think twice about it, in the same way that we did when we were offered the chance to go on the pill or take charge of our bodies in that way, that the next generation won't think twice about going to the doctors to say, right, I'm now, you know, I'm coming into my early 40s and my body is changing. What are my options?
Yeah.
And it's such a casual conversation. Yeah. But right now is noise needs to be made so that changes can be made.
I think it's brilliant. And noise, there is further noise to the book, which resulted in you setting up This Girl Is On Fire, which, A, best title ever. Well done for that.
Thank you very much. You should be pleased with that one.
and explain what that is. It's an online community or an online forum for women, not just women that are going through menopause, but just to fire women up.
And that's, but basically it grew really organically. It came about because I wrote the book and then I typed the end and thought, I can't just leave this hanging. You know, I've started this whole sort of conversation and I wanted to keep it going. But the website's been going for a year now. And what I've realized over this past year is actually, you know, if I was a pie chart, the menopause is only a slice. I don't want to be defined by, or you're that menopausal woman. I'm just a woman. And so I decided I wanted the site to reflect that. So, yes, there is information on there about the menopause, and it's brilliant information. I've interviewed absolute leading lights in Britain to get their information that I can pass on through. And there's videos, there's articles, there's links to different websites, because I'm just a hub of information. I'm in no expert. But what I absolutely love is using my skill set, which is talking to people, finding out, you know, how they can help others and passing it on. The website is all about passing it on. But I've realized actually it's for all girls. Girls can mean any age, absolutely any age, any stage. And all I want is to help women and girls feel better about themselves.
Well, I've had a look at the site and I think I was there for, you know, you lost me in that site, the rabbit hole of your site.
That's the best compliment ever.
Yeah.
All we want is for someone to click on one article and then go, oh, that looks good. What about that one? Oh, that's amazing. And to come away feeling better than when you entered it and have learned something.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's stuff from starting your own business to making friends when you're old. I think that's a really interesting subject. And again, you wrote something, again, honestly, I know I'm blowing smoke up. You're beautiful. Because you sort of put your bum on it, it's fabulous. But but you wrote your piece about anxiety. I found it so honest, and so I'm a fellow sufferer. So moving. And you wrote about it, you didn't hold back.
No.
Because you can't. What's the point? If you've got the platform you've got, you have to be honest with it. That's another brave thing. And another, what I want to say about that is, I think brilliantly we're talking about mental health issues for younger people. Brilliant. We're finally talking about it for men. Brilliant. I don't think we talk about it for older women.
I totally agree. And I think that the reason for that is because, you know, we talk about the patriarchy and matriarchs and all this. And as an older woman, in many cases, you are the matriarch, regardless as to whether it's to your own children, or even if it's to whether you're now looking after elderly parents. You're somehow seen as, you've got to keep it all together because everyone is relying on you. And you're not allowed to faceplant. You're not allowed to fall down because what are we going to do if mum falls over? And I think that being actually quite honest and open about the fact that actually sometimes I fall down. I've never been open about that before. And what's wonderful about being with, having a very supportive husband like I do, is that actually I've realized I can do that trust fall and there's someone there to catch me. Randomly, what it has meant is I've fallen more often because I've allowed myself to, rather than trying to keep it all together.
That's great. You're not storing that.
I was making myself very ill, and I realize now that I've had, the doctors kept calling it shingles-like virus because it wasn't the exact, you know, type of blisters or whatever that you get on your body and pains that you get through shingles. I realized that was absolutely was pent up, held in stress, and I would get it maybe once a year where I would fall down. Always in the summer holidays, it was like my brain knew, all right, you got a little bit of a gap here,
you can do it now.
Off you go. And I would literally just fall down, and my poor mum would have to come in and help look after the kids and everything else. And I think being able now to hold my hand up and say, I'm feeling a bit wobbly today, I'm going to have to take my foot off the gas. I don't always get it right. I face planted as literally as 3 weeks ago. And that was because I was pushing and pushing and pushing myself to keep working, keep going, keep trying to be all things to all people, keep saying yes. And it was because it had come from such a joyous place. I was getting so many, you know, job offers and interview offers and all these different opportunities. And I was so thrilled that they were all coming in. I said yes to every single one of them. And then literally could feel myself starting to short circuit. And for anyone who doesn't understand what falling down feels like, that's what it feels like. It feels like you're starting to, like a robot going, you're short-circuiting. You know you're not functioning on all cylinders. And unfortunately, I did push way too hard. What was great was I was able to say to Nick, stop. I need to just stop for a minute. All these wonderful things that we're doing through the site, don't cancel everything, but rebook them for September. And I actually need to just pull back a little bit, and I feel so much better now just because of that.
Thank you for putting that out there, because I think it's brilliant to read it, and it's that whole thing of just recognizing that you're not, honestly, that you're not the only person feeling that.
Yeah,
I think is a really powerful
it's very
tool.
Weird because I still feel, I was texting a friend of mine just this morning. She texted to say, you know, how are you doing, and I sent her quite a long text back just saying, do you know, my main feeling that I feel is guilt, that we're supposed to be this amazing go-getting, we've reached this amazing age, and I feel like, hang on a minute, if I can't do it. And she was really lovely. I was like, no, you took on too much, and actually just stepping back for a little bit, it doesn't mean that you've given up on anything. No. You took on too much, and you're just stepping back. And even being able to go, okay, that's all right then. But I have this weird guilt at not being able to be this amazing marathon runner. Then she pointed out, you're trying to run a marathon at a sprinting pace. You can't do that. That's insane. Okay, yeah, that makes all
that.
Sense. Yeah,
I got
okay,
that. She
all
sounds
right.
Good.
Yeah.
Do you see getting older as a barrier or a gift?
Depends how you look at it. Oh my gosh, I went to Primark yesterday with my daughter, who's 12, and it was a barrier because I bought this.
Well, it's
this
really
jumpsuit
cute.
that I'm wearing now, this kind of dungarees jumpsuit. But standing in possibly one of the most unforgiving changing rooms was a barrier, and it had one of these awful mirrors where you could see what you look like from behind. Nobody needs to see that.
If baby Jesus has wanted us to do that, we'd be born with those whips, the little mirror.
Absolutely.
No,
I was traumatized, it was awful. I literally stood there thinking, how have I walked in public not knowing that that's what I look like from the back, dear God? And then I kind of had to gather myself together. So in that instance, standing in a Primark changing room, it felt like a real barrier. But it's also a gift because I can sit here now and just laugh about it.
I was just going to say, the gift is 24 hours later, you know that doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, that's the gift.
And also, Nick's away at the moment. He's gone away on this business trip. And we have this thing that whenever either one of us is going away for a few days with work or whatever, it sounds really schmaltzy, but don't be sick. But we leave each other little notes, and we leave them hidden so that you have to find them.
Oh.
And it's lovely, and it is really nice, you know. So anyway, I found this note, and it was propped up against my toothbrush, and it said, you are my weird science, don't ever change. And that meant so much to me, because he said that when we, you know, before we got married, and you know, we've been together, it'll be nearly 6 years now, and he said, you know, when you're in your 40s and you start dating again, you don't know what you're looking for. And he said, and then I met you and I realized, you know, when we properly started getting to know each other and everything, I realized what it was and how you're making me feel. You're my weird science. You're like, I feel like a teenage boy, and I've put this idea together of what I really like, and then all of a sudden, do you remember the film,
yeah,
like in the
yeah.
80s? Boof, there you are, kind of with hair blowing and dry ice, and we really laugh about it because I completely...
Dry eyes or dry ice?
Dry ice, you know, that kind of whoosh. Was it Kelly LeBrock?
No, I know,
you
know, I think it was.
And so to get this, and we haven't thought about this for years, this little note propped up against my toothbrush, you are my weird science,
so
don't
cute.
Ever change. And I thought, the fact that I am literally weeks away from 50 and someone's still saying that to me, that makes me feel a lot better than after the Primark moment.
So two questions. Have you left similarly nice notes?
Oh, yeah.
Are you sure?
Oh, yeah, yeah,
are they
yeah.
pleasant?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, totally, yeah. I put one in his wash bag so he'd find it when he unpacked.
What did it say?
Oh, it was quite a long one.
Okay, don't
and
say.
I just said that, you know, because obviously I said I face planted a few weeks ago, and I just said, you know it's been really bumpy the past few weeks, but you know, thank you for being so lovely, and you know, go get 'em. Really believe in you. It's going to be amazing. Have
That's
a great trip.
So amazing. I love all this. I find it inspiring whenever I'm interviewing my whips. I'm like, yeah, learn it all.
I've never thought myself as a whip before.
Totally
to me, a whip.
Whip
is like a shouty person in the House of Commons.
No. Well, it's quite specialist, but I'm trademarking it.
Good.
Yeah,
good.
Producer Rich is going to trademark it, and I'm going to get your T-shirt. Yes. I love this quote of yours, and I want to steal it. Tell me what you think, if I'm allowed to. I may be halfway through, but I'm not halfway done. I love that.
That was such an organic thing to say, and that came about because I did Celebrity SAS, Who Dares Wins, and I was being interviewed before I went out to South America. It was filmed in the Andes, in altitude, in very cold weather conditions. We didn't know that at the time. We didn't even know where we were going. We were just told to get to an airport. Well, not an airport, it was Heathrow. And that someone would meet us at this desk. But before we went out, we did the interviews for it. And I was asked then about why I thought I could do it as a woman of my age.
Ooh.
But I know I really didn't mind the question, because I knew that I would probably be an older person compared to the other people taking part. What I didn't realize is that I would be the oldest person ever to take part in it, and clearly the oldest woman to ever take part, because women hadn't done it before. And for me, what kind of summed it up was that, okay, yeah, I may be halfway through my life, as in I'm middle aged, but I'm not halfway done. So that's why I'm doing this, because I want to see what I'm capable of. I have no thoughts that I'm going to win or beat people who are half my age and twice my fitness levels. But what I want to do is just compete with myself and see how well I can do. And actually, that's really liberating. Yeah. And when I got there and met, obviously, the other people who took part in the show, I was way older, way, way older. I mean, I think the youngest person was obviously in their 20s, so I was old enough to be their mum. And most of them, I was not even at a stretch old enough to be their mum. And actually, that was lovely in its own way, because there were moments, anyone who's watched any of the SAS Who Dares Win series basically will know that it's four SAS men who basically scare the living daylights out of you and shout at you a lot, and you're put through incredibly difficult mental and physical challenges. With the physical side of things, it didn't bother me that I was coming last in most of them, because I finished them all.
Yeah.
For me, it was all about finishing.
Yeah,
as
yeah.
long as I didn't give up, I was totally fine with where my place was in it. So the fact that how I left was carted off in an ambulance with hypothermia, I was totally fine with that, because I didn't give in. It was...
Did you give a thumbs up to the driver?
Oh, finally, I'm warm. I mean, I was given the chance to stay and have extra, you know, warm clothing and all that, because I'd become ill. But I didn't want to take part if I wasn't on the same playing field as everyone else.
Yeah.
So no, I decided to go. But I'm so glad I did it.
I think that's another thing about getting older. I think it frees you up and makes you braver. You're doing a tour. Is that a brave thing? Look at your face just went.
What was I thinking? Do you know, that all came about after doing SAS, and I came back, you know, slightly tattered. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you. Everyone's a fan. Keep listening.
I came back, you know, battered round the edges and exhausted. And, you know, it took a lot out of me doing that show, mentally and physically. But I thought, you know, if I can do that, I can do anything. So the opportunity came to, why don't we do this tour? And I was like, yeah, I can do this. It will be incredible. Nearly a year later, because it's taken so much time to sort of put together, the kind of, yeah, has grown to, yeah, I think I can do it. Because it's getting closer and closer and closer. When we have meetings about it and we're talking through the planning, oh my God, all the enthusiasm comes rushing back, and it's going to be utterly brilliant.
And it's confessions.
Yes. And it's basically about everything we've been talking about here. But we're going to have some clips. I'm so sorry about that beeping van as well, by the way. And now the airplane that is going overhead. Very, very busy. See, it all happens. We've been here in the space of however many minutes. We've had torrential rain. Yeah. We've had sunshine.
Yeah. Life.
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 It's a metaphor.
I had no biscuits. I did notice that. But life.
Oh, God, I didn't even think.
It's okay.
I'm so sorry. I did give you a cup of tea. I didn't even think about biscuits. Do you know it's because I don't think I have any? I've got crisps.
Do you want to hear a true story? Yeah. Producer Richard brought some chocolates for you and I ate half of them.
Oh, I love that. That's fine.
So there's half in the car if you want some.
No,
later.
That's fine. Okay. No, that's fine. I'm so sorry. Do you
I'm
want some crisps?
Teasing you. It's fine. Do you want some crisps?
I'm desperately trying to think about what we might have. Right,
I don't want
there.
Any food.
No, I'm going. You can leave all this in. That's me banging the microphone. I'm devastated that I didn't offer you crisps.
I'm sweet. Bring them and sit down. Oh, I love those. I love those.
Oh, look, this is a noise of biscuits. I'm so embarrassed that I didn't even think. Isn't it funny? Look, the biscuit cupboard is literally the same as a tequila cupboard.
This is absolutely
and the alcohol.
Yeah,
this
impressed.
Is the noise of biscuits being opened.
Thank you.
There.
Oh, no thanks, I'm not hungry.
Mirror, mirror on the wall. Don't say it because I know I'm cute. Ooh, baby. Louis down to my drawers. LV all on my shoes. Ooh, baby. I be dripping so much sauce. Gotta be looking like bread goo. Ooh, baby. Lit up like a crystal ball. That's cool, baby. So is you. That's how I roll. If I'm shining, everybody wanna shine. Yeah, I'm gold. I was born like this. Don't even gotta try.
Now you know.
I like shouting naked better over time.
Now you know.
They just say I'm not the baddest chick you like.
We are just around the corner from Andrew McLean's house. BB, how was she for you?
I really love her. Look, if we ignore the biscuits, if we ignore Biscuitgate and the fact that I feel like I bullied Andrew McLean about savoury produce.
You could tell she was feeling guilty and you still pushed it.
I know. It's a biscuit. Oh, I loved her so much. She's so honest. And every whip we've interviewed has been brilliant and inspiring. But what I loved about her especially is... I don't think she realises how brilliant she is. And she's very, so kind of humble about everything. And that's what I love about the whip thing, I think, because, you know, being brave is being scared about stuff, but still doing it. And she's doing all these things that are terrifying, you know, this tour's, you know, going to be incredible. But, you know, she's like, whoa, a bit anxious about it. And writing all this really honest, open stuff, that's really brave. I've done it, and it's incredible. There's always an emotional price to pay. And I just think she's incredibly brave and incredibly out there in a kind of soft way, which is really personable, and that's why people resonate with her, and that's why she's such a great whip, because she doesn't know her power. What did you think?
I thought she was very honest, very brave. I love it when you see the mundane sides of celebrities' lives, and going to a house like that and seeing just her being in the middle of the summer holidays with her kids and everything that's going on. Yeah. And her house smelt brilliant.
She had a really lovely house. I didn't steal anything, which is testament to that I've grown as a person, but how much I loved her.
I mean, technically the biscuits.
Oh, yeah, I stole the biscuits. I think if you can eat something, it doesn't count. I just thought she was brilliant and really an interesting interview, in that there's a real... I hope she doesn't hear this and think I'm being a bit kind of patronised. I don't want to be at all. There's a real vulnerability to her that I think is her strength, and I think she just doesn't kind of see that, but I just love that about her. I love spending time with her. Super funny, super intelligent, yeah, really honest and open about stuff that needs to be talked about, and puts herself on the line. I just thought she was incredible.
I think during the interview I counted 3 occasions where you really made her laugh, and I sensed that you wanted to follow up with, please invite me on Loose Women.
She's totally getting a fax or a post-it. I'm going to leave her a little love note. Come on. Should I be on it?
I think you should be on it.
That on Newsnight.
Well, Loose Women's not on the BBC, so let's go with that.
Oh, okay.
Thank you to Andrew McLean and her biscuits. You can hear previous Whips shows right now on BBC Sounds. Hear me in discussion with Kate Moss and Joe Good and Danielle Denise. And next week, join us again for chat with another fantastic Whip.